Before we offer the invocation of Hazrat Pir Murshid Inayat Khan, I want to take note of the altar, and it is set for the daily service of the universal worship. And so we have the single candle, we have flowers, and we have the incense, which in this case are the roses from the Dargah of Hazrat Inayat Khan. And also on the altar is the Gayan Vedan Nirtan, which of course contains poetical inspirations that have come through Hazrat Inayat Khan. So the light from the candle represents the spirit of guidance, the source of inspiration, the light of that divine truth that streams through all of those who have carried a message of the divine to us. And so in this daily service, the wick of the candle is kindled and we pray to the glory of the omnipresent God. We kindle the light, symbolically representing all those who, whether known or unknown, have held aloft the light of truth through the darkness of human ignorance. So in the spirit of the universal worship service, emanating from the lineage of Sufism that streamed through Hazrat Inayat Khan, we acknowledge this day, Palm Sunday, the time when Jesus rode on a donkey in humility into Jerusalem toward the fulfillment of his purpose. And on Good Friday and Easter this coming week, we honor Christ, who brought us a message of love and truth for the awakening and the good of humanity through self-sacrifice and resurrection in the divine ideal. It is also the time for Passover in the Jewish tradition, commemorating the Exodus from Egypt. And it's a time for attuning to the ideals of justice and freedom from oppression for all people. I found this online and I thought this was quite beautiful to take as a concentration. The Haggadah instructs each person is to experience the Exodus from Egypt personally, as if we ourselves have been freed from Egypt. So the Hebrew word for Egypt literally means the narrow, constricted place. So it is a time to contemplate where in our lives we feel constricted or stuck, and how we might move from that into spaciousness and freedom. So here again is the aspiration toward the ideal of freedom from enslavement of the ego self. In the Hindu religion and culture, Rama Navami and Hanuman Jayanti were celebrated this past week. The Hindu Lord Rama inspires us with the example of living the highest ideal of one's duty or role in society, fulfilling his dharma, his purpose in life. Rama represents an ideal quality of goodness, and so Rama Navami celebrates the power of thy great goodness to overcome all darkness and evil. Hanuman, the Hindu monkey god, through his example, inspires us with his sincere devotion and selfless surrender in service to his ideal, Lord Rama. In the Sikh tradition, Vaisakhi will be observed tomorrow. And this honors the birth of the Khalsa, which was inspired through Guru Gobind Singh. And the Khalsa offers us this ideal of divine purity, where all beings are neither this caste or that caste, but equal in this pure essence. So all of these beings alive in the hearts of those who are responsive to them offer a living example of devotion to a higher ideal, of aspiration toward the divine source of light, love, freedom, truth. Transmitting a message of the divine ideal, fulfilling that ideal in life. This is the quality of Rasul. And with the conditions of life in our world today and in the past, when has there been a time when humanity has not needed the beings who inspire these ideals? So kindling the light of all those manifestations that light the lamp of the message of the one, the only being, in forms known and unknown, in forms seen and unseen, let us offer the invocation of Hazrat Piramurshid Inayat Khan. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So now imagine and draw into our circle all the illuminated beings who are your source of inspiration and aspiration. As we listen to these words from Hazrat Inayat Khan, none of the great ones have called themselves masters, nor have they considered themselves to be so. What they have known in their lives is the privilege of opening their hearts wider and wider to reflect the light of the Master, who is God alone. According to the Sufi conception, there are several degrees distinguished as stages of responsiveness. Among them are five principal ones: Wali, Ghoz, Ketub, Nabi, Rasul. The sign of Rasul being the crescent, which represents a responsive heart. People call them masters, but they are in reality pupils. For in point of fact, no one in the world is a master save God. The human privilege is to become a greater pupil. So on this spiritual path, what does this mean to be a pupil? They say in the East that the first thing that is learned is to understand how to become a pupil. One does not first learn what God is or what life is. The first thing to learn is how to become a pupil. Mystics, therefore, have adopted a different way. They have learned a different course, and that course is self-effacement, or in other words, unlearning what one has learned. One may think that in this way one loses one's individuality. But what is individuality? Is it not that which is collected? What are one's ideas and opinions? They are just collected knowledge. This should be unlearned. So receiving and contemplating questions is a customary practice of being a pupil. And Piramurshid Inayat Khan guides us with these questions to reflect upon. So we might contemplate, what are the ideas and opinions that I have learned since my birth that form this view of myself? Our idea of ourself is formed by so many external conditionings. Our family, our religion and spiritual communities, our education, our careers or work in life, our social communities and friends. So how does this set of ideas of myself form and affect my relationship with others, my point of view, or my judgment of their behaviors? How does this idea I have of myself form and affect my relationship with conditions in the world and my ability to understand a deeper meaning or purpose in those conditions? So as we waken to awareness of collected ideas and opinions we identify with, we may discover that some may be limiting or inharmonious for ourselves or others. And how do we unlearn this? So Pir Murshid and Icon offers us a method of unlearning, saying, a field of mental purification is to identify oneself with what one is not. As an example of this, Hazrat Anayat Khan offers this story of a sage in India who, in his youth, asked his mother, "What is the best occupation?" The mother replies, "I do not know, son, except that those who searched after the highest in life went in search of God." He asks, "Where shall I find God?" She advises him to go to the forest in the solitude, like other seekers have done. So after a long time in solitude, his patience exhausted, his heart broken with the disappointment of not finding God, he returns to the wise counsel of his mother, and she advises, "Now I think you are ready to go to a teacher." So he went to see a teacher, and there were many pupils learning under that teacher. Every pupil had a little room to themselves for meditation, and this pupil also was told to go into a certain room to meditate. The teacher asked, "Is there anything you love in this world?" This young man, having been away from home for so long, having not seen anything of the world, could think of no one he knew except of the little cow that was in his house. He said, "I love the cow in our house." The teacher said, "Then think of the cow in your meditation." All the other pupils came and went and sat in their room for 15 minutes for a little meditation. Then they got tired and went away. But this young man remained sitting there from the time the teacher had told him. After some time, the teacher asked, "Where is he?" The other pupils answered, "We don't know. He must be in his room." They went to look for him. The door was closed, and there was no answer. The teacher opened the door, and there he saw the pupil sitting in meditation, fully absorbed in it. And when the teacher called him by name, he answered in the sound of the cow. The teacher said, "Come out." He answered, "My horns are too large to pass through the door." Then the teacher said to all of his pupils, "Look, this is the living example of meditation. You are meditating on God, and you don't know what or where God is. But he is meditating on the cow, and he has become the cow. He has lost his identity. He has identified himself with the object on which he meditates." So in this story, the teacher presents the pupil a question: "Is there anything you love in this world?" The question guides the pupil to concentrate on the being he has love for. With concentration, the pupil is guided into contemplation, his heart opening wider and wider in responsiveness to the cow, turning him away from thought of self, whereby he enters into meditation where only the cow exists. The object of the pupil's concentration and contemplation leads to the treasure of the ideal within the object of his devotion, the ideal of pure love. Unlearning, unidentifying with self, and identifying with the ideal. So this story causes me to reflect on the question, is there anything you love in the world? For me, the concentration of observing and drawing objects from nature leads to a state of responsiveness to the object, with attention to the preciousness of the detail, thoughts quiet, self fades in the beauty and the harmony of that object, and in the love of the divine creator that's within the creation. This attunement to the divine in the natural environment feels quite instinctual for me, yet in this troubled and troubling time, these teachings that have come forward raise the question for me, who are the manifestations of the divine that you love? That inspire and exalt you, that guide you towards your highest, most sacred ideal. With these teachings and questions percolating in my mind and heart, I was guided from the practice I had neatly planned for today to this unexpected text in Physicians of the Heart, a Sufi view of the 99 names of Allah. There is one message, but there are many messengers and many manifestations of different scriptures. All these are emanations of Al-Karim, because they are truly of benefit in every way. All those beings who are honored in this month of April, who embody divine ideals to aspire towards, emanations of Al-Karim. Back to the text. Viewed from its context in the sound code, Al-Karim is the source of boundless generosity that manifests into all creation, everywhere, and without exception, even the cow. There is a famous verse in the Quran, Surah 131. We, Allah, are surely continuously ever generous and honoring of the children of Adam, giving special favors beyond the rest of our created being. And what is the mark of special favors that Adam was given? Specifically, humanity was given all the divine names in the pre-eternal covenant. The heart of the complete human being has been seeded, S-E-E-D, seeded with all of the divine names as a hidden treasure to be uncovered in every soul. This is Al-Karim. God demonstrates through every prophet what it means to be a complete or perfect human being, a perfect reflection of the divine essence, endowed with all the sacred names. This state is described in the Quran where the term Rasul Karim appears. In Surah 132, it is not only Adam or the children of Adam and Eve that have been given this treasure, but the function of Rasul has been given this gift, this call, Q-A-W-L. Call means the word, and word here is used in the sense of all the divine names. The Rasul becomes Al-Karim, and Al-Karim breathes the breath of the word into Rasul. What is given is a universal gift from the universal giver, There is no high and low in it. Allah is honored in giving the gift of abundance, and Allah honors the one who receives the gift of abundance. So what is being said also, Allah honors the one whose heart is responsive. As a consequence of this essential divine generosity, it is possible for any human being to be a complete teacher. Now, this word is the word used in Physicians of the Heart, but we can also think of the prior term used, the complete human being. And what is the complete human being or teacher truly? A pupil with a responsive heart. As a consequence of this essential divine generosity, it is possible for any person to be a complete human being because every heart has all the divine names in it. Every heart has all the divine names in it. The abundant blessing of all these divine ideals are in the treasure of Al-Karim. With the inspiration of this teaching on Al-Karim, we'll do a practice tuning to Karim through an adaptation of a singing wazifa by Murshid Hidayat Inayat Khan. And we call upon the divine Al-Karim through the invocation of Yah Karim. The recitation of Yah Karim softens that hardest, densest aspect of our ego self. And it allows for an infinite receptivity of the heart, helping us open to the abundance of the universal gifts that flow from the beneficence of the universal giver. In the Physicians of the Heart, it explains that in the sound code of Karim, the root KRM means unconditional giving from the inner intention of love. Some word forms in the Arabic language that have the root KRM convey a productive soil, a well-tilled and irrigated land that yields abundance. So imagine each of us is this productive soil. And we're a pupil to be tilled and irrigated so that we might yield the abundance of the divine ideals seated in our soul, all Kareem. So for those here that may remember the chromatic zikr that was practiced in November, we might recall the elemental sounds that are a foundation of that practice. Consider the sound ah in Karim. Ah is the sound of the earth element. And so this sound refers to manifestation, that which embodies this boundless generosity that streams from the love of the universal giver. The sound E in Karim is the sound of the fire element and carries this vibration of the all-pervasiveness of the divine. And in the Physicians of the Heart, it is further explained that this sound reaches the good, the bad, and the ugly without distinction. That's powerful to contemplate, not only in relation to our ego self, but also in relation to current conditions in our world, conditions that are challenging humanity, challenging all life forms in this planet. So the A-E, Physicians of the Heart, tells us that the A-E in Karim traces manifestation from transcendence into infinite particularization. I like that word, particularization. It's hard to say. But for me, I imagine the seeds of the divine names manifest in the smallest detail, the unseen particles of everything, all beings, all beingness in the universe. So we begin the practice, Ya Karim, with a rhythmic chant. Ya Karim, Ya Karim Allah. And then the practice will transition to a melodic flow of Ya Karim. So feel the rhythmic wave and vibration of the sound of Karim. Loosen and soften the productive soil of your heart. So the seeds of all Karim may rise and flower in abundance. Take a little sip before we begin.
Ya Karim.
Tune to this abounding generosity that flows from the source of ceaseless, unconditional love. We turn, like the turn of the dervish, away from self toward the divine ideal. Hazrat Inayat Khan, God demonstrates through every prophet or rasul what it means to be a complete or perfect human being, a perfect reflection of the divine essence. Among Sufis, many attain to the God ideal through rasul, the ideal human. Therefore, practice of mind or concentration is taught by Sufis with a religious view, not as a scientific exercise. If there is anything worth concentrating upon, it can be nothing else than God. But as a person cannot fully grasp the idea of God, they can only picture God as something that can be intelligible to them. Any name or form of this world would be an eligible form to adopt as a divine form, since all forms are of God, the cow. But would a person not choose as such a human form with the merits that they can attach to the divine being and call it the ideal human or divine human? That is Rasul. So this study has unveiled an inner guidance for me at this time, when problems of the day, as Inayat Khan called them, cause me to examine my values and ideals, the ideas and manners of myself I identify with, my judgments of what is right and wrong, my actions, my inactions. And consider that during his lifetime, Hazrat Inayat Khan was experiencing the impact of the Industrial Revolution and World War I and what was happening in society at that time. So considering that, as he says this, the solution to the problem of the day is that the consciousness of humanity may be awakened to the divinity of the human being. This leads us to the prayer Salat, gifted us through the responsive heart of Pir Mursid Inayat Khan. Now, if you attended the presentation by Sara Rain, you likely hear a similar note in what has come through for today's offering. And so consider the sacred observances that have taken place at this time of year. March was the season for Ramadan and Laylat al-Qadr, which celebrated the birth of the Quran that came through the responsive heart of the Prophet Muhammad. It is the season of Lent, and it culminates in Easter, celebrating the resurrection through the remembrance of the self-sacrifice of the responsive heart of Christ. When I listened to Sara, it caused me to smile, realizing the vibrations of the Rasul, these messengers, and the message are in the atmosphere, and it is there for us all. This is all Kareem. And we know repetition is a necessary part of our path and unlearning, so the prayer Salat, we can never have enough of that. So in that prayer, our consciousness is tuned through concentration and contemplation upon the divinity of the human being. And the prayer begins, Most Gracious Lord, Master, Messiah, and Savior of humanity, we greet thee in all humility. Now I pause here because in some versions of the prayer, you will see or hear it said with all humility. Murshid Hidayat Inayat Khan taught and emphasized that this line of the prayer came through Hazrat Inayat Khan specifically with these words, "We greet thee in all humility," rather than with. And I think you can feel the difference of that. It is in a state of humility, in humility, that we become thy pupil, turning away from the face of the self towards the highest ideal. As we pray in Salat, thou art the first cause and the last effect, the divine light and the spirit of guidance, Alpha and Omega. And where might we find this most profound ideal? The prayer continues. In a loving mother. Oops, excuse me, before that. Thy light is in all forms. Thy love in all beings. In a loving mother. In a kind father. In an innocent child. In a helpful friend. And in an inspiring teacher. In these words, the blessings of all Kareem, every heart has all the divine names in it. And continuing, allow us to recognize thee in all thy holy names and forms, as Rama, as Krishna, as Shiva, as Buddha. Let us know thee as Abraham, as Solomon, as Zarathustra, as Moses, as Jesus, as Mohammed, and in many other names and forms known and unknown to the world. All of the beings who have opened their hearts wider and wider in response to the gift of the word that is breathed through the universal giver, the perfect reflection of the divine essence. To follow this, a related aside from Hazrat Inayat Khan, he says, thus the adept makes a garland of the names by which different people have called their Rasul and offers this garland to their own ideal. What a beautiful thought to accompany the prayer. Hazrat Inayat Khan is offering this garland through the prayer Salat, and in this garland, the Rasuls of these religions known to the world. We may also weave those beings in other names and forms who embody and carry the message of our most sacred ideal. And so we remember and honor all of our spiritual ancestors. As we pray, we adore thy past. Thy presence deeply enlightens our being, and we look for thy blessing in the future. Thy blessing, thy generous abundance that is all pervasive, in all forms, in all beings, all Kareem. Then the prayer tunes us to the complete human being. O Messenger Christ, now be the Rasul of God, thou whose heart constantly reaches upward. Thou comest on earth with a message as a dove from above when Dharma decayeth, and speakest the word that is put into thy mouth as the light filleth the crescent moon. We hear in the words of the prayer the succinct embodiment of the message, the gift of all Kareem that flowed through Pir Murshid Inayat Khan. And he speaks of the crescent moon, saying, the crescent in the heart symbolizes responsiveness. So I'm going to pull this forward so we can look at that. Maybe a little bit too much glare. We have the crescent in the heart. It is the heart that responds to the Spirit of God that rises. The crescent is a symbol of responsiveness because it grows fuller by responding more and more to the sun as it progresses. The light one sees in the crescent is the light of the sun. It gets more light with increasing response, so it becomes fuller of the light of the sun. I love these radiating lines. The light of the sun. The star in the heart of the crescent represents the divine spark, reflected in the human heart as love, which helps the crescent towards its fullness. So the prayer fulfills the emblem of the Sufi message. As we pray, let the star of the divine light shining in thy heart be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. We, you, us, thy loving pupils. We pray our hearts are open in responsiveness to receive the reflection of the divine qualities of Rasul, to receive the reflection of all the divine ideals that are held in all Kareem, in the one abounding love. And reflecting from our heart thy generous blessings, we pray, may the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and making the whole humanity as one single family in the parenthood of God. A saying of Hazrat Inayat Khan from the March 27th Bowl of Saki was this: we start our lives trying to be teachers. It is very hard to learn to be a pupil. And why is it hard? In commentary on this, Murshid Samuel Lewis says, because being a pupil is not a kind of learning. It is a surrender. Piero Murshid, love accomplishes its work when it spreads its wings and veils man's self from his own eyes. That is the time when love is fulfilled. And so it is in the life of the holy ones who have not only loved God by professing or showing it, but who have loved God to the extent that they forgot themselves. So in the daily service of universal worship, a selection is read from the Gayan Vedan Nirtan. And today's reading is, let my heart reflect thy divine light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun. Let my heart reflect thy divine light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun. So let us offer a singing meditation that's derived from these words. And as you sing, feel the active expression of these words from your heart. Be the full pink moon that rose in the sky last night.
Thank you.
the moon reflects the light of the sun in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect thy light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun. The light of the sun in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect thy light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect thy light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect thy light, Lord, as the So, in closing our gathering, let us say the invocation of the light bearers that is offered to us through the listening heart of Pure Moina Dean Clark. We offer this as a dedication from our heart, in responsiveness to the ideal, the only being, in responsiveness to the abundance of blessings in the stream of all Kareem, for the benefit of all creation, everywhere and without exception. So for those who do not know this invocation, I will say a line of the prayer or the invocation, and then we'll say it together in unison, call and response. In the One, we are united with all the illuminated souls. In the One, we are united with all the illuminated souls, where together we uphold the light of truth, where together we uphold the light of truth, amidst the darkness of human suffering and confusion. Amidst the darkness of human suffering and confusion. Allahu. Amin.